Well, as I said earlier this morning, we're going to read through Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. This is the passage we're going to be in on Sunday morning. It's a passage that sets the stage for what happens that very first Easter, as God announced how he was going to save his people, announced how he was going to save his people 700 years before the events took place. Now, as we go through, I'm going to take a verse and help us think a bit more about that one verse and how it relates to Good Friday. Our first reading this morning is going to come from Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15. That's page 741 of our Red Church Bibles. If you need a Bible, give a wave and someone at the back will be able to bring you one. And Francesca is going to come and read these verses for us. Thanks, Frankie.
So this is a reading from Isaiah chapter 52, 13 to 15. The suffering and glory of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand.
Let's keep that passage in front of us. Let's see some of the detail, shall we? How will God save? That is the context of where we are in Isaiah right now. If you've been with us the last few weeks on Sunday morning, that is the question we've been asking. How will God save? How will people see who God is? The message of salvation has gone out, but the how this is going to happen hasn't happened yet. But here we get to it. So we're going to dwell just for a few moments on verse 13. If we look at the little number 13 there that Frankie just read to us. See, my servant will act wisely. He'll be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. That see there, it's the final command to Isaiah's readers in this whole section. See my servant, God says. God is going to save the world. God's salvation plan is going to come through this servant. This servant who will act wisely. If we went back to the start of our Bibles, if you were to read Genesis, you would find this wise word come up again. There you find the tree that made people wise. The tree that caused mankind to fall in the first place, as Adam and Eve took and they ate and they wanted to be like God. They wanted to raise themselves up in their pride and take God's place. But here, in God's salvation plan, the servant himself is going to do things right. He will act wisely. So, see him. He will be raised. He'll be lifted up. He will be highly exalted. Those words, lifted up and highly exalted, are what mankind has tried to do since day one. It's what mankind has tried to do as they seek position apart from God, as they try to take God's place. As we have all said, shove off God. I'm in charge, no to your ways. As the kings of Isaiah have said this, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. It's the very words of the kings we find at the start of Isaiah. And that is what we all, each and every one of us, look to do, as our pride gets the best of us. But God promises he's going to cut down the pride of man. He's going to sort out the issue of sin. He's going to bring us back to relationship with him. So how does he do that? See my servant. See my servant as he is raised, as he is lifted up, as he is highly exalted. In Isaiah, there is no one else who's going to be raised and highly exalted other than God himself. When Isaiah uses these words of being raised and highly exalted, he is saying, this is God. No one else is called lifted up and highly exalted. So what do we have here in Isaiah 53? What is going to deal with mankind's sin? What is going to deal with our pride? Well, it is God himself taking on the form of a servant, being raised, being lifted up, being highly exalted. I mean, those words, they sound glorious, don't they? They sound glorious words. As he's highly exalted, that sounds amazing. As a servant is lifted up. But what does that look like? What does that, in fact, historically look like? It looks like the servant being nailed to a cross and lifted high into the air on two planks of wood. The moment that looked the most appalling, the moment that looked the most degrading, is in fact, as it says here, the moment the servant is highly exalted. So this morning, see my servant. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus was the perfect man. Thank you that he embodied everything that we are supposed to be. Thank you that he acted wisely where Adam did not. We praise you that the Lord Jesus stepped into our world to deal with our sin, to deal with our shame, to deal with our pride, to bring us back to you. Thank you that he was raised, lifted up, and highly exalted to do that. Amen. Well, our second reading this morning is Isaiah 53, carrying on from where we left off a moment ago. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 6, and that's still on page 741. And Yele is going to come and read these verses to us. Thank you, Yele.
Isaiah 53, 1 to 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Let's focus on verse 5 of this passage. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So in this section, the servant takes on humanity. He steps into a sin-riddled world, a world full of pain, a world full of suffering. He stepped down into this world that we know so well and became one of us. And right here is where the divine exchange took place, where wrath and mercy meet. Our sin, our rejection of God, the ways that we have wanted to take God off his throne, to be like the Most High, what deserves punishment. We deserve to be pierced for our transgressions. We deserved to be crushed for our iniquities. As we have said to God that he is not the king, that we are instead, we declared war. We took the good from the Creator, and we didn't thank him for it. We sat in the Creator's lap to then slap him in the face. yet. Yet in God's mercy, we are given a substitute. We're given someone to stand in our place and take what we deserve. Other kings use their power to wound and to strike others. Isaiah says earlier that the kings of the earth in anger strike down peoples with unceasing blows and in fury subdue nations with relentless aggression. It's what the kings earlier in Isaiah did. But what does the true king do? The true king provides a substitute in love. The servant, the Lord Jesus, takes our place on that Good Friday. That is why we call it good. He takes our place on that Good Friday and was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. What wonder, what mercy, what grace. If you want to see what God looks like, what God is like, look right here. As God graciously gives us the solution to our problems. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how serious our sin is. That is what it takes for us to receive peace with God. That is what needs to happen for us to be healed of our sin. So let's take a moment to think over that in silence. Perhaps read those verses again, and then we'll pray again. Let's take a few moments, shall we? Heavenly Father, we know that our sin, that our rejection, that our iniquity requires justice. Father, we know that we are naturally at war against you. As we read these words, we reflect on the way that we have rejected your reign over us this very week. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you now those things that we have done in thought or word or deed. Father, we ask your forgiveness this morning. Yet, we praise you that the Lord Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities, that the punishment that brought us peace was on him. Father, we thank you this morning that every sin was laid on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Thank you that if we trust in him, there is nothing, absolutely nothing left to be paid. So, Father, we ask this morning that you make us aware of our sin, but even more aware of your mercy in providing a substitute for us. Help us to really grasp just what was done on that first Good Friday and what we have because of Jesus. Amen. Our final reading this morning comes from Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 12. It is now found on page 742 of the Red Church Bibles, and Leah is going to come and read to us.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Let's focus on verse 9 now, shall we? By God, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he'd done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So in this section that Leah just read for us, the servant dies. We get his trial, his execution, and his burial. On that Good Friday, the servant, the Lord Jesus, was killed. And as he died, he took our sin and he drove it into the ground. He was assigned a grave with the wicked as he died a criminal's death, a death unworthy of the people of his day, a death that was saved only for the worst of criminals, a death infamous for its cruelty and its suffering, devised to prolong its pain and humiliation as long as physically possible. So much so that our word excruciating comes from it. And with the rich in his death. That is an amazing prediction, isn't it? For a criminal to be with the rich in his death is unheard of. No one of any standing wants to be associated with the worst of criminals, especially those crucified. But here, Isaiah says, 700 years before the facts, the servant is. As the new, unused tomb of Joseph of Arimathea becomes the resting place for our Lord Jesus in his death. As the tomb is sealed with a stone, a big stone is rolled in front of the entrance. No one is getting in. No one seems to be getting out. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The servant dies in the place of the guilty. He'd done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. The innocent in place of the guilty. The unstained in place of the dirty. The sinless in place of the sinner. The servant dies. The Lord Jesus is dead. The tomb is sealed. The grave is closed. It is Friday, but Sunday is coming.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't know. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying, but they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robed him in scarlet. They crowned him in thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross, and then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king, and the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved, but they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone, dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. But Sunday, Sunday is here.
It's a famous poem. Great words, though, isn't it? It's Friday. It is Friday. But Sunday is coming. Let's pray, shall we? Sovereign Lord, we praise you and thank you that Friday was only the start of that awesome weekend. We thank you that you have control over the whole of history, that you can say things that happened 700 years in advance with total accuracy. And therefore, as the creator and sustainer, you can work things to provide salvation, complete and full salvation for your people. Thank you that the Lord Jesus died that death, even death on a cross, that he was assigned a grave for the wicked, even though no wickedness could be found in him. Thank you that he was buried with the rich in his death, that his tomb was prominent for all to see. Father, we praise you that the innocent died for us, the guilty, that the unstained died in place of us, the dirty, that every sin was laid on him and that nothing was left. Thank you that the sinless died in place of us, the sinners. Thank you for that first Good Friday. Help us to grasp just something of the enormousness of it today and praise you for it. And Father, help us to know that it is Friday, but Sunday is coming. Amen.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.